Next up is Dr. Joel Press. Dr. Press is professor at PM&R at Feinberg Northwestern School of Medicine and Rehab Institute of Chicago, which is a superstar program of physiatry. He's the Reva and David Logan Distinguished Chair of Musculoskeletal Rehab, widely published hundreds of lectures locally, nationally, and internationally. He's also past president of the AAPM&R. He founded PASOR, which is a musculoskeletal group. Hang on a minute. He's an innovator in the subspecialty of musculoskeletal medicine as a part of the field of physiatry. He's truly a guy who's really changed the face of physiatry quite a bit, and he's a pretty mellow guy, too, which is wonderful. So here's Joel.
All right. Thank you. What I'm going to try to do in the 15 minutes here is to kind of give an overview of academic physiatry from an outpatient standpoint. You've kind of heard from David about inpatient. You heard from Marty what outpatient private practice is like from a musculoskeletal standpoint. So I'm not going to talk a lot about what are the types of patients that we see as much because they're outpatient musculoskeletal type patients, same types of things, but try to give you a little bit of flavor of what is different about an academic practice. I think David went into it a little bit, particularly as it relates to inpatient rehabilitation. I'm going to show you some of the similarities, some of the differences, but looking at academic physiatry from a musculoskeletal perspective. And I think the first thing is we want to understand the practice of musculoskeletal care in an academic setting and really identifying what are the similar and what are the different aspects of academic practice versus private practice, because those are decisions everybody will have to make at one point in the future. Like David did, I wanted to give you just a little bit of my background to give you my understanding, because whenever anybody lectures, you understand that they are giving you their bias. That's what they do. That's what they like to do generally. I've been in practice for 21 years, all in musculoskeletal care and all at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. I actually did some general rehab and inpatient care the first year I was in practice. I'm the founder and medical director of our spine and sports rehabilitation centers. We have four centers that focus on musculoskeletal care through an academic setting and started our fellowship program in 1992. We've had 24 fellows now that are, most of them are in other academic places kind of doing the same thing in terms of building academic programs. I'm fortunate enough to be an endowed chair because we have people who have helped provide money to help support our program, and I have the bias of being the past president of the Academy and North American Spine Society and PASOR. So our spine and sports rehabilitation program, which is our outpatient musculoskeletal program at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, has seven physicians. We have about 80 therapists. We work with physical therapists, occupational therapists, orthotists, technicians, physicians, aides with us. We have five different sites of care. In all these sites of care, we have all the therapies. We have radiology suites. We have physician offices. So kind of multidisciplinary, multi-specialty, not multi-specialty, but multidisciplinary places. We have two fellows every year. We have 36 residents at the Rehab Institute of Chicago. We have medical students, and we are in charge of all of the musculoskeletal training for those people, along with any visiting people that are coming from other states, other countries, other programs. So in academic medicine, we are part of the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. A lot of people in academic practices may not necessarily be part of the Department of PM&R, but it may be part of the Department of Medicine, where the rehab is a section of internal medicine. Some it's orthopedic, some it may be neurology. So there's some differences there. I would say the majority of cases that people in academic departments are part of a specific department with a department chair. They may have a separate section of musculoskeletal medicine, whether it's a spine section, whether it's a sports section, whether it's a musculoskeletal section, or all of the above. Most of the people in these departments will have some type of academic rank, whether that's an instructor, an assistant professor, associate professor, professor, and you kind of move up as you produce from an academic standpoint. And a lot of that will be teaching, a lot of that will be research, a lot will be involvement in organizations like the AAPM&R. There are some people that are actually on tenured tracks, which is probably less and less, and then non-tenured tracks where you become a professor or whatever at a tenured university, they kind of can't fire you, supposedly, is the way it goes. That's kind of becoming a little bit more blurred with the clinical practice anymore. Now, what are the responsibilities that we have? Well, obviously, the single most important thing for most of us, even in academic medicine, is clinical care. And it will vary depending on people's interest. As we said, there are some people in academic places that are just doing sports medicine. There's people, Mike Fredrickson at Stanford and Jay Smith and Ed Laskowski at Mayo Clinic. These guys are doing really primarily sports medicine. They do very little spine and other musculoskeletal care. They're seeing mainly sports-related type injuries. Other people will be the heads of spine centers at their academic institution. They're doing all spine. And other people like us, we kind of do both because we have really a musculoskeletal type training program. What do we do besides clinical care? Well, teaching is a very important part of an academic institution. You guys are all medical students, and it's kind of obvious whether that's students, whether that's residents, whether that's fellows, whether that's visiting faculty. There's lots of people around in academic institutions to learn and to train from and understand what they're doing. In terms of research, some people think, well, I'm going into academics. I'm going to have to do all this bench research. I'm going to have to do all this high-level stuff. There's varying degrees of research that gets done. There are some people that are 75-80% of their time is research with NIH funding, which is fabulous because it's really important for our field, and it's probably where we need more and more people to go. But some people will be doing clinical research, will be part of clinical studies. Other people will be doing the bench research. And I think most people that are in academic settings are really doing both. What we've ended up doing in our center in musculoskeletal rehabilitation is we work very closely with a number of the PhD programs and a lot of the PhD departments that we have and labs in our own building to do combined research with the academicians, the clinicians, and the researchers, basic science researchers, to see no patients in terms of putting protocols and programs together. Now, university activities, part of academia, besides the clinical and the teaching and the research, is really being involved at the university level. And that may be committee work. I'm on the Committee of Admissions for the last 7 years at Northwestern University. The Institutional Review Board, which is reviewing different research protocols. Or combined conferences. We have conferences with ortho, neurosurgery. We have a musculoskeletal conference, we have a spine conference, and we have a pain conference every month that meets with multi-specialty groups to discuss cases and present to each other. We have a spine and sports radiology conference that we have every once a month also, where we have one of the radiologists that comes to our office to present, that we can present cases to them. So again, part of that whole academic milieu, if you will, in terms of exchanging ideas. What are the types of patients seen? I think you just heard from Marty the musculoskeletal type patients. Vaina will talk about it a little bit, and so will Paula, but their spine, their sports, their musculoskeletal. It's everything across the entire gamut of musculoskeletal care. The types of procedures that we do in our practice, same type of things. There's epidural injections, there's spinal injections, there's EMG, there's diagnostic ultrasound. All of that is part of the different armamentarium of the practice of musculoskeletal medicine and academic institution. Our teaching responsibilities are not only with patients, but obviously with lectures, whether it's at the institution ourselves where we're lecturing to the students, whether it's at the entire institution, in our case, Northwestern University, whether it's lecturing nationally, lecturing internationally, putting on workshops. We have a couple of programs that we put on every year for musculoskeletal training for physiatrists and also for just sports medicine groups in general. We run 3 different programs a year. Our research responsibilities, again, this is very different depending on the groups, but probably all of us are involved in at least some clinical trials in our institution, and most of us in our academic musculoskeletal practice are working with some of the bench researchers on some of the things that they're doing. Again, just again, who are we teaching to and what types of things? There's hands-on teaching, there's mentoring, there's research studies, there's conferences. Other things just about research responsibility, there are some people with NIH and grant funding, and this may be a majority of their time. So the people that are interested in academics at the research level, there's wonderful opportunities to combine that type of bench research with clinical care. And particularly people that are interested in that, we're always looking for those type of people to be part of our program too. The different responsibilities, some people will just do case reports. Well, they'll present stuff at a meeting like this. And a lot of the academic promotion really takes into consideration the quality of clinical care that you're providing. It takes in what type of research you're doing and what quality is and what impact it has and what type of teaching you're doing and at what levels. Is it locally? Is it nationally? Is it internationally? And what impact is that really having on the field, which is really what we're trying to do in academic settings, is train people to continue to train other people to provide the best care possible. When people ask me, okay, why would you think about academic medicine versus a private practice, I think there's lots of things. And Marty touched on a lot of them, and I think was very good. You know, your employee or you're self-employed. A lot of people in private practice, it is a self-employed option. So, you know, that's nice when you're your own boss as opposed to being an employee because, you know, I always say that everybody sooner or later is going to have some boss. You better make sure who they are. There is variability in practice, and it really depends a lot on the mix of your clinical care and teaching and administrative and research time. And, you know, the solo group versus a department and university, you're part of a university environment, which is a little bit different than in a private practice. You've got a lot more people around that you're interacting with, and whether that's good or whether that's bad, I'm not always sure. I think the big thing you have to always ask yourself is, who do you report to? You know, when you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you can make all the decisions you need to make. There's something pretty good about that if you're in a private practice. If you're in an academic institution, who's your chairman? What type of institution do you have in terms of they really supporting the type of work that you're trying to do? I think those are very, very important. And also, I think the other thing about an academic institution, not much different than private practice, but who are your partners and who are the people that you're working with? Because that's who you're going to be picking their brain on a regular basis, and you're going to be trying to learn together, too. We're fortunate enough that with some of the combined conferences and stuff we have, we work very closely with the orthopedic surgeons, the neurosurgeons, the radiologists. We're able to share cases on a day-to-day basis with them and be able to look at those things together. You know, the patients are variable and they're similar. Whether you look at a private practice or you look at an academic practice, you know, people always say, well, who sees more sports medicine patients? Well, it depends on the setting. If you have a private practice that's all you see, you're going to see a lot of sports medicine patients. If you're somebody, like I said, a Mike Fredrickson at Stanford or the people at Mayo that have a sports medicine clinic and they're running, they're probably seeing more sports medicine type patients than anybody else. Who sees more spine? It depends on the type of practice that you have. This is all musculoskeletal care, and I think you start to kind of build the practice around the types of patients that you want to see. It's always interesting to say work schedules are variable, and so who works harder? Because people always want to know, well, I want to know who's got the best hours. Well, you just heard two guys give you the same story that, you know, I've got pretty good control of my life when I can do things, and I got pretty good control of my life. I think it depends on what you want to do, and it depends on how hard you want to work and how much it's important in what you're doing. And a lot of it, if you're in an academic institution, you will have responsibilities to that university, to that department that you're going to have to meet. David happens to be the chair, so it makes it a little bit easier for him, but he still has responsibilities he has to meet. And I think that people saying, well, you know, I want the easy lifestyle, that's fine if that is what you want to do. But I think you have the opportunities to make a difference at whatever level that you want to put in it. The more you put into it, the more you really get out of it. Salary and benefits is the other thing. Why would I go to an academic place? They're going to pay me a whole lot less. And you look at the GEMNAC stuff, not the GEMNAC studies, the AM, double AMC, they give data every year on what's the salaries for doctors. And I'm sure you guys probably have all looked at that more than anybody else here. But I think when you look at any of these things, the only caution I give everybody, whatever it is, when there's a number that your salary is, make sure you look at what the entire salary includes. Because somebody will say, I'll give you a lot of money, but there's no malpractice, there's no secretary, there's no nurse, there's no overhead coverage, there's no retirement, there's no anything else. So when you look at things to truly try to measure apples to apples, I think you need to look at what the salary and the entire benefit packages are. Because I think, as David was saying about the VA, for instance, in terms of benefit packages, I don't know if there's anything that's better than the VA in terms of working 25 to 30 years and having a full pension and having health care for the rest of your life and things like that. And I think Mayo Clinic's got a similar type thing that you work there a certain amount of time. You have health care for you and your whole family forever. So there's lots of things about the benefit packages I think you just need to understand, whether you're in group practice with a bunch of physiatrists and you're all in a practice together, or with a bunch of orthopedic surgeons or an academic practice. Look at the whole thing, I think, as you're starting to look at what the real value of what you're trying to do. I think the really important things, and I think people have said it, what do you like to do? You know, what environment appeals to you? What type of environment do you want to go to work every day at? And what will really make you excited about getting up every day to go to work? That's really the most important thing. Everything else, as I always tell everybody, is really background noise. If you can answer the first three and you know what you're doing, everything else is going to work out just right. Thank you.